When we talk about wearing a mask, I say to my friends, you know, who may think I'm a conspiracy theorist, I said, your government just made it illegal to breathe the air. That's scary.
In the summer of 2020, bureaucrats worked in lockstep with the media to convince the public that the general use of surgical and cloth face coverings were effective at stopping the spread of infectious diseases. Face masks became a perceived requirement through fraudulent color of law mandates. People started wearing face masks when outdoors on hot summer days, driving alone in their car, and even during intimacy with their spouse. Masking in public places became enforced through fines and police violence. Are face masks truly a health measure? Or are they a symbol of submission? In this episode, we will hear from doctors and subject matter experts familiar with the regulatory code for workplace safety and the proper use of face coverings to understand the truth about face masks.
And I think, you know, one of the important things that we're emphasizing right now is our insistence now on wearing masks.
Wearing a mask is not hard. Breathing through a mask is not hard.
You could literally kill someone because you didn't want to wear a mask. I mean, how cruel and irresponsible would that be?
I am placing the entire state of Utah under a mask mandate.
You need to be wearing a mask when you're around anyone who is not from your household.
It's no longer voluntary. It's mandatory.
No shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service.
All customers in retail facilities must wear a mask. In grocery stores, must wear a mask. In most forward-facing businesses, must wear a mask. If you are indoors, must wear a mask. And outside, must wear a mask.
There's no medical exception that applies or that allows you to insist on coming into a facility, a store and the like, without a mask, or insist on remaining in a store or facility without a mask. We have been communicating with law enforcement agencies as well, and they stand ready to assist if there's any trouble enforcing this face covering requirement. Anyone who still insists on entering a store or other facility without wearing a mask or insists on taking it off after getting inside, they can be and should be removed and charged with criminal trespass.
But any business that refuses to go along with the new mandate could face closure, fines, even jail time.
So we have 39 police officers that are dedicated specifically and solely to issuing mask violations. We've also been closing businesses. We've closed over 30 businesses that are not following the coronavirus guidelines that we've set out for businesses, social distancing, have too many people, have maybe violated the curfew, et cetera.
This is much like enforcing a seatbelt violation or someone that ran a red light. It's the new normal. We have to do it.
Police are under investigation over the handling of a confrontation with a woman caught without a mask.
Tase somebody over a mask.
This all happening in front of the woman's child. Police say the woman was told she could not ride the train because she was not wearing a face mask covering correctly.
Get out!
Ma'am, put your hands behind.
behind your back.
Just abide by the public health measures that we talk about all the time. Uniform, wearing of mask, physical distancing, washing your hands frequently. We just have to keep doing that because we know it works.
From when this whole thing first started back in March and April of 2020, it just blew my mind how quickly and how readily the entire world just rolled over and put on a mask.
I see the mask as a symbol of conformity to the lie, a symbol that everybody agrees with the lie. Otherwise, they wouldn't be wearing the mask. And if everybody agrees that it must be true, if it's consensus, well, guess so. And we've been trained to think that. If you've got the majority, or a huge majority, believing something, it must be true. When in fact, it's usually just the opposite.
The mask is nothing. It's a nothing burger. It does nothing. It's virtue signaling. It's a waste of our time and effort. It's a distraction to your life. It disrupts your life. But in the same time, it's a great litmus test to see what direction they can go with us.
Masks don't control viruses, they control you. That's what this is about.
Point is, this mask is a mind control game. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with viruses. And if you truly believe that the mask is going to save you, fine, I'm happy for you. Just wear it, enjoy your life, and leave me alone. Because after all, you're saved, right?
I've never worn a mask. I will not wear a mask. You couldn't pay me $1 billion to wear a mask, and here's why. I know as soon as I put that mask on, a little piece of me is going to die. Now, not everybody can do what I do. You know, some people have to do it because their work's telling them to do that, or some people think that I have to fly on this airplane, or I have to ride in this Uber, or I have to go to this restaurant. And that's why we have the mask, is because not enough people said no.
Without a true health crisis, the social engineers and behavioral scientists knew that a ploy was needed to make their invisible pandemic seem like a reality. Months of propaganda drove people to embrace face masks, weaving them into the very fabric of society. Mask became a powerful visual reminder for everyone, a way for all to publicly participate in the hysteria and further condition the public for mindless obedience. The medical establishment has long known that surgical and cloth masks essentially offer no protection from viruses. So what is the real science of face coverings?
One of the first videos to be incredibly censored, I brought my 12-year-old son into my studio on live television, and we bought a CO2 monitor. And I put that CO2 monitor up underneath his mask, and I had him wear all the different masks that we use, whether it was a surgical mask or an N95, or we even tested a shield and a bandana. But what we saw was incredibly alarming. So now we're in a place where he could be having headaches. He can be, oh, we're at 3,786. Look at this, we've just passed 5,000. Now we're in the toxic level, right? Now we could be doing this 7,000 inside this mask of the CO2, 8,000 parts per million. And now this thing's gone off the Richter scale, folks. It can't even register how high the CO2 levels are inside. And look how many seconds that was. All right.
Can I just...
Yeah, you want to take that off? Now, CO2 is what OSHA monitors. That's our government agency that travels around making sure that the air people breathe in their offices or in their manufacturing plants is healthy. They all have CO2 monitors on the wall so that if the CO2 level gets too high, like a canary in the coal mine, luckily we have one of these monitors, we have people rush out of the room until they fix the problem. The body of science around this world shows that masks do not work, and in fact tend to cut oxygen, raise CO2 levels. I've even brought in OSHA experts on my show that said that's exactly the study we did, and we know that's true. We know it denies you oxygen.
OSHA's stance on respiratory protection, whether it's masks, whether it's surgical masks, whether it's N95s or true respirators, as far as a CAPR, airline-supplied respirators, PAPR, whatever it might be, OSHA has what's called a respiratory protection program. And this standard was written in 1979 in response to the fact that many employees and contractors were wearing their own homemade masks or their own face coverings. Because they were being exposed to paint fumes or dusts or whatever hazard it might be in their working environment that was a nuisance to them or an irritant to their respiratory linings. And so they were just wearing their own homemade whatever, right? So what we found is that by allowing people to work in their own homemade respiratory protection, we were actually causing a greater hazard. We were causing people to work with reduced oxygen intake, reduced carbon dioxide output. And in addition, we were really finding that we were stressing the cardiopulmonary systems of these employees. Because when you cover the mouth and nose and you exert physical energy during your work, or during your task, whatever it might be, you're really stressing the cardiopulmonary system because you change the way that you breathe. You have to forcibly inhale and forcibly exhale. That taxes the heart. It taxes the lungs. And we have given people heart attacks by allowing them to work with their mouth and nose covered, with absolutely no regulation, no oversight, no medical oversight, no work rest cycles, things like that. So OSHA actually created the respiratory protection standard to prevent people from working with their mouth and nose covered and exerting physical energy because of the greater hazard that it creates.
I don't think it takes a lot of common sense to figure out that if you obstruct your breathing, that it's going to have a detrimental effect. For example, there was a court case in Germany where I believe it was bank employees were required to wear masks for the whole shift, like 8 hours a day. And there was a doctor who testified with evidence from, I believe, EEG studies that showed actual brain damage as a result of that. And that case was successful.
Masks can not only lower your oxygen intake to unhealthy amounts, but they can raise your CO2 intake to dangerous levels, causing severe harm. The ambient air around us is only 0.04% carbon dioxide, yet our exhaled breath is 100 times greater at 4%. A carbon dioxide level of 4% is at the threshold of an immediate danger to life and health, according to OSHA. Carbon dioxide overdose causes rapid unconsciousness, followed by death, which is why carbon dioxide is commonly used to euthanize animals.
Tony Fauci said the mask is useless. Don't wear them in the beginning of this. So did our Surgeon General and a scientist from the WHO. There's no need to wear a mask. Masks won't do anything to protect you. In fact, even Fauci said this. You'll be touching your face more out of the irritation, and that's going to spread the disease more than anything else.
Let me be very clear, and I'm sure the physicians who are up here will reflect this as well. The average American does not need to go out and buy a mask.
Should you wear a mask if you're healthy?
No.
Government officials say face masks are not necessary if you are healthy and don't entirely provide protection against the coronavirus.
Masks do not work for the general public in preventing them from getting coronavirus. Right.
If you do not have any respiratory symptoms such as fever, cough, or runny nose, you do not need to wear a medical mask like this one.
And if you're not sick, you shouldn't be wearing a medical mask, but if you are, then you should.
We recommend that people who are sick wear a mask. We recommend that people who are around someone who's COVID positive wear a mask, but do not recommend that the general public wears masks as a protective mechanism.
WHO recommends that the wearing of a mask by a member of the public is to prevent that individual giving the disease to somebody else. We don't generally recommend the wearing of masks in public by otherwise well individuals because it has not been up to now associated with any particular benefit. It does have benefits psychologically, socially, and there are social norms around that, and we don't criticize the wearing of masks and have not done so, but there is no specific evidence to suggest that the wearing of masks by the mass population has any particular benefit. In fact, there's some evidence to suggest the opposite in the misuse or wearing a mask properly or fitting it properly or taking it off and all the other risks that are otherwise associated with that.
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. People should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
All of this is known to be true, yet we accept watching Tony Fauci saying no mask is necessary. Oh, one mask for a whole year. See no drop or decline in the amount of infections across this country and deaths. And now he's saying two masks.
One mask at least, but if you want to really be sure, get a tighter fit with the second mask.
So wait a minute, are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? It looks like you are.
President-elect Joe Biden does it. Mitt Romney double masked during the Capitol insurrection. Tom Cruise also double masked.
The new White House press secretary wore the same just today, and doctors say they're onto something.
Doubling up may be one of the safest ways to stop the spread, as many Americans desperately wait for their shot at the COVID vaccine.
Now, Virginia Tech researchers found that doubling up these cloth masks increases the efficacy from 50 to 75%. A three-layer mask could block up to 90% of the particles.
So if you have a physical covering with one layer, you put another layer on, it just makes common sense that it likely would be more effective. And that's the reason why you see people either double masking or doing a version of an N95.
It's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over but expecting different results, right? So if one mask doesn't work, maybe two will work. Maybe if two doesn't work, maybe we should wear three.
This is ridiculous. The air should not be illegal to breathe.
There are well-established workplace protocols for the proper use of face masks. If people understood the existing safety standards for face coverings, they would realize how deceptive and cruel it is for the media and medical establishment to promote unmitigated and misguided use of face masks.
During surgery, if a surgeon or a nurse or an anesthesiologist is wearing an N95 or even a surgical mask or an ear loop mask in that surgical suite, if they touch that mask one time, they have to either exit the room or a nurse aide has to help them change it out without touching it. The second you touch your mask, not only are you cross-contaminating that mask, but you are reducing its likelihood to control a hazard.
The maximum amount of time that you can wear a surgical mask in a hospital setting or a surgical center is 2 hours. That's max, right? And even then, they have to have work rest cycles. They have to properly don and doff them by the ear loops. You can't just grab because you contaminate. It's called fomite transmission. Your hands have bacteria on them from what you're touching in the environment around you. So when you touch that face mask, you now breathe in that pathogen or that contaminant through fomite transmission. So there is a lot to the PPE standard. Whenever we give an employee personal protective equipment, there's a lot of requirements that we have to follow through with, and it all has to be documented. Yet what OSHA is doing right now with this mask, you know, this blanket mask mandate, they're not following any of it. And they're getting away with it because they've changed the name. It's not PPE anymore. It's now, they call it community protection or whatever. But I'm sorry, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're requiring people to put something on to protect them or somebody else, it's personal protective equipment. It falls under the PPE standard.
Inside Edition went and tested masks by three different couples who admitted that they were pro-mask, they thought the masks worked. When they tested these masks, they found over 60 million types of bacteria housed in these masks.
So how clean are the masks you wear every day, especially the kind you keep reusing? To put them to the test, we swabbed the inside and the outside and sent them off to the lab.
Time to reveal the results.
We found lots of bacteria on all the masks.
Oh, no!
Especially this multicolored one right here that you use every day.
Yeah.
That one has a bacteria count of 680 million.
A
normal count would be about 10,000. We found four types of bacteria on your masks as a whole, right? But on this one right here, specific kind of bacteria can cause
some nasty skin infections. Okay. It can also lead to pneumonia.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
So how about these guys?
Harris, we found a bacteria count of 66 million on your
okay.
mask.
Okay, all right.
66 million.
That's horrible. I want to tear it off right now.
Arjuna, 270 million on your mask.
What?
When you have a facial covering on for an extended period of time, there is a it creates a very moist environment, which creates and breeds bacteria very quickly. So when doctors, nurses, construction workers, whatever industry or occupation, employees are required to wear masks or respirators, they are told and trained on when to take them off. Work-rest cycles are very important, how to properly don and doff them, and how to properly clean and sanitize them, because we know that this amount of bacteria building up on the inside of a mask that we keep rebreathing is going to cause things like bacterial pneumonia. Perioral dermatitis is a big one that we've started seeing, and that's what, you know, some people jokingly refer to as maskne, the blistering, right, the outbreaks around the face on the skin, the red marks, but it's very serious, actually. It's a form of staph. It's a bacterial staph infection, and it's very serious. It's nothing to laugh about, and it's 100% because of the extended and prolonged mask wearing in a bacterial-ridden environment.
We've seen so many increases of bacterial respiratory infections in our private practices over the last 12 months, it's not even funny. We've seen so many fungal infections because people are improperly wearing masks. Whenever we get fitted for our mask, because I also am a part owner of two surgical centers here in the greater St. Louis area, when we're in our surgical centers doing procedures, the doctors are wearing the mask so that we don't spit into an open wound. You see, people have this false idea that doctors wear a mask in an operating room to stop a virus from going to somewhere. Not at all. The human mouth is the most bacterial-ridden mouth of any mammal on the planet. It's even more bacterial-ridden than a pig's mouth would be. So if we spit saliva into an open wound, that's going to cause infection. So it has nothing to do with viruses. And again, study after study after study has shown that wearing a mask has more harm than good. You look at the research that was just done out of Germany. There was a huge study released out of Germany, and what they looked at was 25,000 students that were in school. 25,000. And they found that 68% of those kids in the German study had some type of impairment. I mean, everything from headaches to passing out to dizziness to lack of function to no energy to not wanting to go to school, literally being learning disabled, not being able to properly learn, which is already an issue with school-aged kids. Now putting a mask on them shows that 68% of kids in schools now wearing a mask have more harm than good. And again, we're talking about a population that has a 99.997% survivability rate, even without any therapeutics, there's no point in these kids wearing masks in schools. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Kids are not sanitary like we are. They chew on the masks, they sneeze in them, they lick them, they sweat in them, they play with them. No matter how often they're reminded not to eat them, they still do. They use them to wipe their boogers after they sneeze, then plaster the nasty bacteria-filled Petri dish mask over their face for hours. I can't for the life of me imagine how inhaling air through a cloth that is soaked in sweat, mucus, and saliva is deemed to be healthy for a child's growing body and lungs.
Although he has a fresh, clean mask every single day, when I wash those masks, this is the water that comes off of it. Every week, I save each mask, five of them, to wash all at once so you can see what you are putting on their faces.
I mean, how stupid, how incredibly dangerous. And yet, we're just all, you know, doing it as if it's, you know, the thing to do. In addition, we're causing a lot of perioral dental issues in the mouth. Dentists are reporting a very high level of bacterial disorders, diseases, bacterial infections because of prolonged mask wearing. And that doesn't even get into the bad breath. It doesn't take very long wearing a mask and you have very bad breath. Well, what is that? It's bacteria. But when we can't exhale properly and we can't get that out, right, to be diluted in the air and the environment around us. That's a problem. We're trapping it in and we're rebreathing it, which causes the bacterial infections to just skyrocket.
From a scientific standpoint, I can tell you that prior to 2020, none of the literature supported wearing a mask, especially for non-symptomatic people. There was no evidence that wearing a mask stopped the transmission of small particle airborne viruses.
Particularly this SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is incredibly small.
The size of this particular virus is approximately 0.1 micron, which is roughly 1/1000th of the average human hair.
You know, I've seen the videos when someone sucks on a vape pen and blows out through their mask. It's everywhere. Or even better, a guy did a video recently standing in the freezing cold, probably Wisconsin or Minnesota, and said, two masks, really, here's one mask, steam everywhere coming out of his mouth. Here's a two masks, three masks, all the different masks, steam everywhere.
Here's a cloth mask on the N95. Now we're going to try two N95s. This is 15 N95 against coronavirus transport.
This virus rolls and is far smaller than moisture particles or water droplets, and yet we're seeing steam come out. It has been obvious to me, and I've said from the beginning, these masks don't work.
During the H1N1 outbreak and the SARS outbreak, studies were done. You can look at the BMJ open studies and multiple RCT studies with meta data analysis that showed cloth masks can filter close to 0% when controlling health hazards associated with airborne infectious diseases.
The best mask we have, outside of a level 4 containment suit, the best mask we have, which we used to call a tuberculosis mask because that's what it was really designed for, are N95 medical masks. And they screen particles down to 0.3 microns. Not all particles, but 95% of them. Even they, when tested, don't screen these small particle viruses. And when they've really done sophisticated tests, like in the Environmental Services Department at the University of Maryland, they looked at putting people in these hermetically sealed containers with these N95 masks, and they showed that when you cough or sneeze, the small virus particles, the ones that are infectious, go through the mask.
So here we are wearing masks on our face that, according to science, protect droplets, as in if droplets come towards your face, it's going to protect the water from hitting your mouth. It's going to protect the blood, say, from hitting your face or whatever it is, or the sneeze or the cough. But masks still allow the particles, because the COVID particles are smaller than the particles on your mask, and they can still travel through, say, that homemade face mask or that paper face mask that you have. And people are still catching COVID regardless of the fact they're wearing the mask. In fact, the CDC put out a report, and on this report, it showed that 85% of people who caught COVID-19 were wearing a mask. 85%.
There is no evidence, and there's definitely no peer-reviewed, double-blind controlled study that shows that wearing a mask stops the prevention or slows the progression of any respiratory viruses. Multiple studies have been done on healthcare settings, as well as on non-healthcare settings, on, for example, the flu, showing that there's no statistical data that proves that wearing a mask prevents any type of viral spread. If we look at the report that was just released on March 12th of 2021 by the CDC and Health and Human Services, they did an exhaustive study, and they looked at the counties in the states, in here in the United States of America, that had severe restrictions for mask wearing, ordinances and or recommendations that were imposed and followed at a high percentage. And what they found was is that those states and those counties that had a high percentage use of mask, they actually showed that there was a benefit of wearing a mask. And they actually showed that the percentage was, in their minds, significantly responsible for reducing the risk of spread of SARS-CoV-2 and coronavirus. And the data showed that it was 0.5% to 1% successful. By the way, this is an observational study, which that means within the margin of error, the statistically proven that there's zero. And let me say this again, zero data that supports that wearing a mask stops the spread of COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. Even the federal government now finally says that to be the case.
There was a recent study that came out in October of 2020. It's the Danish mask study. It was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, which that is like one of the top two or three internal medicine journals in the world.
And they looked at 6,000 people. 3,000 wore masks all the time. 3,000 didn't wear masks ever. And they actually followed them for a period of about 6 months. It's a very, very solid, statistically significant study. At the end of that six-month period, they analyzed the rates of coronavirus and spread, and they found that during that six-month period, masks were 0% effective at stopping coronavirus spread. In other words, there was no statistically significant difference in coronavirus transmission or uptake during that period between the two groups. Masks did not work at all. And that was the largest study that's been done to this time. So that's a valid scientific study that should have been all over the news, and nobody covered it. There was also another study that was released in December 2020 that was from China. And they looked at 10 million people that were asymptomatic COVID positive that they followed to determine if they were spreaders. Because that's the whole impetus for people that are not sick wearing masks today is that, well, you might have coronavirus and you just don't know it. You might be asymptomatic, but you might still be a super spreader because you're getting people sick when you don't have any symptoms. Well, China, and China is the top of the world when it comes to track and trace. I mean, they track and trace everybody. They've got ocular scanning. They know where everybody is at every time. I mean, they trace and track people pretty well in China. What they found is that all these several hundred people that were asymptomatic coronavirus positive, that there was zero asymptomatic spread. In other words, if someone did not have symptoms of coronavirus, if they weren't coughing and, you know, hacking and a fever and all the different symptoms of coronavirus, if they were asymptomatic, even if they were COVID positive, there was never asymptomatic spread. So there goes the whole impetus for people wearing masks that are healthy, because that's what we're told. Wear a mask because you might be sick and you might spread it even though you don't have symptoms. Malarkey. That's pure poppycock. It's hogwash. It's a lie. The China study showed there is no asymptomatic spread of coronavirus. So there goes the two main reasons for wearing masks.
We are often asked why we're not wearing masks. People think that there should be masks worn at all times. It may be what you are recommended in your country, but in terms of WHO's guidance, as long as you can stay 1 meter apart, which we took care that we are 1 meter or more apart, then you don't need to wear a mask, especially as well we're in a space that has good ventilation.
From the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual.
But the one thing historically people need to realize that even if there is some asymptomatic transmission, in all the history of respiratory-borne viruses of any type, asymptomatic transmission has never been the driver of outbreaks. The driver of outbreaks is always a symptomatic person. Even if there's a rare asymptomatic person that might transmit, an epidemic is not driven by asymptomatic carriers.
Could you imagine a year ago walking into a bank with your face covered? Could you imagine even going into the grocery store? Do you think they would let you in? Do you think they would be following you in the aisles to make sure that you weren't going to be shoplifting? Could you imagine going up to a gas station and going inside the little mini mart to pay for your gas with a bandana on? How far do you think that would get you? Could you imagine as a teacher showing up to school with a shield that looks like a space alien? Those things are offensive to us because it interferes with normal human interaction.
When you're talking about the amount of influence that the government has applied to the society using COVID, we don't even look at the most simple insanity that goes on in front of us. We don't even balk at the idea that the government wants the establishment where you eat supper to put a mask on you to walk from the door to your table, seat you within 3 feet of another table, and you can take your mask off because, you know, COVID's not going to get you as long as you're eating and at your table. But, you know, it could jump on you between the door and the table. Anybody who just arrived, who hadn't been bathed in this education system we have and bathed in this unspeaking loyalty and in response to government controls, if you just walked up and looked at it, the insanity would be palpable. The stupidity that we do every day, that we put ourselves through every day, because it makes us feel good. Because it's for the collective. You know, the government says we should do this, and we should. Well, they said that wearing basically a sock over my face is going to protect me. Well, no, it won't. Well, the government says so. Well, there's studies out there that say not. Well, I've never seen it. Well, if you did see it, would it change your mind? Nope. They just do it because it makes them feel good. And when you own a big portion of society to do things based on their feelings, you own them.
Everything we have just covered about the use of face masks for virus protection and the inherent health problems is not a secret. It is not a conspiracy theory or conjecture. It is all very well understood and documented science in the medical community. Masks do more harm than good, and they know it. Let that sink in for a minute. What does it say about doctors and the medical establishment in general when physicians can't actually follow the science themselves, but instead follow mandates? What about the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm? The biggest issue with face masks is the impact they have on our children. Kids worldwide are being forced to wear masks for extended periods at daycares and schools, on the bus, even during outdoor recess and sports activities, despite the evidence that masks are ineffective and children are not at risk. We must understand both the physical and psychological damage that masking has on our kids and put an end to the barbaric practice of masking children.
When I started hearing the schools start talking about putting children in masks in order to be able to go back to school, I thought it was a joke. I thought, who in their right mind would put a mask on a child, would cover a child's mouth and nose all day long? I couldn't believe it. I actually thought no parent would ever do that. Well, let's fast forward now. They're all doing this. Everybody, all these children are walking around in masks. So I started standing up and speaking very loudly against this, saying, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not okay. From a health perspective, from a medical perspective, from a scientific perspective, this is not only not okay, this is egregiously wrong, and it's incredibly dangerous.
Mask on children is quite the slippery slope. Look at your children. They're confused. They come home lethargic. They're frustrated. You may see variances in their mood. It's because when you are wearing a mask, it makes you tired. It makes you tired because masks have the ability to lower your oxygen content by up to 20%. I say up to because, again, you cannot make claims on every single mask because there are so many different types. But children in masks is absolutely dangerous. It's dangerous also because children rely on proper oxygen content for their brain development. And if you are impeding oxygen on a daily basis for our youth, you are disrupting the development of the front part of the brain, the rear brain, and you can look into studies by Dr. Larry Pilevsky, who's done talks on this, that talk about repetitive oxygen deprivation can impede that brain development.
And every one of us knows that young children are not affected by this virus. They're not. And that's a blessing. But as the adults, what have we done with that blessing? We've shoved it to the side and we've said, we don't care. You're still going to wear a mask on your face every day, 5 and 6 year olds. You still can't play together on the playground like normal children, 7 and 8 year olds. We don't care. We're still going to force you to carry a burden that was never yours to carry. Shame on us. And I know what I'm going to be met with. But Ms. Taylor, the CDC, we did not vote for people at the CDC. We did elect leaders who do create policy. We elected the five of you. We chose you to make difficult decisions for our children. We chose you to make decisions that would be in our children's best interest, enforcing 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-, and 9-year-old little children to cover their noses and their mouths where they breathe for 7 hours a day, every day for the last 9 months for a virus that you know doesn't affect them. That is not in their best interest. And this has to stop. Defend our children.
I really believe that if we get rid of the masks, the rest of this house of cards fall down. And if we want to save our children, we need to do that. My conclusion, after looking at this for a long time and listening to the arguments for these masks, I've determined that if you're a medical doctor or a scientist that's spouting using these masks, you're either being played or you're being paid.
The problem with children is that children don't necessarily say anything. They just suffer in silence. And any medical professional will tell you that. Kids don't say much. They don't complain about it. They just crash. And what's happening is the body is adjusting to the signs and symptoms of oxygen deprivation, but that doesn't mean the damage is not still occurring. So this is a huge problem because what we are creating in our children is a very unhealthy population. When kids are not getting enough oxygen, they're not learning at the correct level. They're not absorbing the information. They're not able to process properly. Our bodies are incredibly sensitive to oxygen saturation levels. So kids are being put at great risk for neurological disorders and diseases. When the body does not have enough oxygen, the immune system is not functioning optimally and properly. This is a well-known medical fact. So we are creating an entire generation of young children who are immunocompromised. They're not developing the social cues and social skills that they need to function in the world around them as adults. And we are going to be creating a very unhealthy young generation. We're going to start seeing neurological diseases and disorders and cancers, which can only thrive in those environments of low oxygen and oxygen deficiency, very young. So I'm very concerned, and this is why I started standing up. This is why I got involved as an activist in the first place, because I was so concerned about our children.
Children are the biggest victim of these mask mandates. The bacteria that is housed inside of masks is bad. But when we look to our children, if anyone has children, you know they're very dirty. I've talked to a lot of teachers that during recess, when they are allowed to take off the masks, they see their masks sitting on their table and they are coated with fluids, blood, and for lack of a better term, boogers. You are going to see, and we have seen, an increased risk of illnesses that actually resemble COVID symptoms, but they're not COVID. They're respiratory illnesses like bacterial pneumonia and even fungal infections. So in the attempt to try to protect people from this respiratory illness, we are causing other respiratory illnesses. We've had schools that have outbreaks of strep throat. We've had people that have had unexplained illnesses that actually mimic fungal infections. And people are negligent. Some doctors are negligent in diagnosing what the root cause is here. It's prolonged mask wearing and not changing out this mask as you should.
I had a student come to me. He came to the nurse's office and said he couldn't breathe. He was wearing a bandana type of mask that was tied around his neck. And another nurse was with me at the time. And we said, okay, let's take it off and we'll give you a surgical mask. And he said, I can't take this mask off. I've been wearing it for 2 weeks. When he said that to us, we were like in shock. How could this be? This kid's sleeping and showering in this mask for 2 weeks. We tried to take it off and we couldn't. So we actually had to cut it off and throw it away. That's just one story of lots of stories of kids wearing them incorrectly. And so I decided to make a stand. I let my supervisor know about my concerns, and they weren't appreciated.
You said there's an enormous increase of complaints of headaches, stomach aches, all related to the masks. Kids are saying they have shortness of breath. You also point out that one kid came up, threw up in the mask, said, I'm not sick. It's from the mask. So when you try to explain that, you've been an RN for 13 years. What do the non-medical professionals at the school tell you?
They just bluntly told me we are going to be following the mandates put in place by Governor Murphy, and that includes wearing masks. And I let them know that as a nurse, I don't feel comfortable enforcing something that I can see and know that is harming somebody. You know, I had a kid come down to me. She was wearing a mask. She was crying. She had vomited in class. I was taking care of another student, so I said, sit down. When I got to her, I pulled her mask off. It was full of vomit. Her mask was full of vomit. She walked down to me with it on. Just heartbreaking. This is, you know, first graders that come in and are having this severe anxiety. You know, kindergartners are not able to understand what their friends are saying or doing because they can't see their facial expressions.
And, you know this, Erin, as a nurse, they're under no danger, almost 0% danger from this virus.
There's a really good video I recommend people watch if they want to see what this is doing to our children. It's by Dr. Franz Ruppert, and he talks about the psychological effects of this COVID event. He replays a video that was a study done in America. It was called the Still Face Experiment.
Babies this young are extremely responsive to the emotions and the reactivity and the social interaction that they get from the world around them. This is something that we started studying 30, 40 years ago. In the still face experiment, what the mother did was she sits down and she's playing with her baby who's about a year of age.
I'm like a girl. Oh.
And she gives a greeting to the baby. The baby gives a greeting back to her.
Yeah.
This baby starts pointing at different places in the world, and the mother's trying to engage her and play with her. They're working to coordinate their emotions and their intentions, what they want to do in the world. And that's really what the baby is used to. And then we ask the mother to not respond to the baby. The baby very quickly picks up on this. And then she uses all of her abilities to try and get the mother back. She smiles at the mother. She points because she's used to the mother looking where she points.
Yeah.
The baby puts both hands up in front of her and says, what's happening here?
Yeah.
She makes that screechy sound at the mother, like, come on, why aren't we doing this? Even in this 2 minutes when they don't get the normal reaction, they react with negative emotions, they turn away, they feel the stress of it, they actually may lose control of their posture because of the stress that they're experiencing.
Okay. I'm here. And what are you doing? Oh, yes, oh, what a big girl.
And the other really sad thing in the video, it showed a little three-year-old boy in the video, and this is, nobody's in the room with him. There are a bunch of toys there, and it shows him literally socially distancing from the toys. That's what we're giving our children. It's a dystopian world, and they're being damaged.
Babies need to read faces. When mom's holding a baby, nursing or feeding them a bottle, baby's looking up at mom, right? They're communicating by facial expression. That baby is learning mom. That baby is learning to communicate and learning expression, feeling emotions. This is how our children learn emotional intelligence, empathy. This is how they learn anger, happiness, by the expression. So by covering everybody's faces, number one, these young kids are not learning empathy. They're not learning to read other people. They're not going to become very socially aware.
And this is, you know, very disturbing way to live. And the effect on the children is much more significant because they're developing social skills and language skills and communication skills. At critical times, we're preventing them from getting the right sensory information by seeing people's faces. And then we're also sending a message to stay away from and be afraid of other people, because the mask symbolizes that the person carries disease. The word virus itself comes from the Latin word meaning poison. So we're essentially teaching our children that people release poison from their face and you need to stay away and they're dangerous. And of course, when you're learning how to form social relationships, if the context is that other people are dangerous and will get you sick, you're going to have barriers. You're not going to get close to people. And then later on in your life, your relationships are going to be very different, because it's our human nature to be close to each other. So these are really serious concerns, not only for the current situation, but for the future and the next generation.
Hi, I'm a teacher from Fairfax County Public Schools. I'm going to give
you have a medical exemption.
I'm sorry?
Do you have a medical exemption for no
I do.
Mask? Okay. You've been cleared by staff. Can someone?
Yes, I have. Can I have my full minute, please?
You may.
Thank you.
I'm waiting for staff to give me a thumbs up that the medical exemption was granted.
You know, it's actually embarrassing that you have to ask me that question in front of hundreds of people here. That's discrimination against HIPAA. It is. I can't ask you if you're gay. I can't ask you if you have herpes. You can't ask me about my medical exemption. I can't ask you if you're pregnant. You can't ask me that question.
Would you like your minute now?
I would love my minute, yes. Thank you.
Students do not follow mask enforcement. Their masks are below the nose, under the chin, and many of us teachers do not say anything because we are not wardens in a prison. I will never scold or punish a student for wanting to breathe freely.
This is not a mask. It's a muzzle. It's obedience training. We know that children are not vectors for COVID and that masks are at best ineffective and at worst dangerous. If most teachers are protected by the vaccine, what are you worried about? Unmask our children.
You say you consulted with health experts. Which health experts exactly? Because there are health experts on both ends of this argument, yet you only listen to one side, the side that feeds your narrative. It is very easy to make decisions when you're in an echo chamber and don't have much opposition. Did you ever think of consulting the parents? No, of course
not. Sir, your time is up. I'll let you wrap it up.
I had not had 3 minutes.
Sir, your time is up.
I hate masks. I hate social distancing. I hate distant learning. I hate constantly being told what to do. I hate teachers say when this is the new normal. And I hate being treated like a little germ no one can touch. The school is trying to take away my right to tell people what I think and feel, and I cannot say anything but what their point of view is. They have taken our freedoms. I can't even pick out where I play at recess, and now they pick out who I play with, and these ridiculous zone things make no sense. When I simply ask why, they say, oh, just for safety reasons. They blame everything in the name of safety.
I miss seeing people's face. I miss the way things used to be. I'm scared they'll never go back to normal. Breathing freely doesn't seem like something we should have to ask any other people for permission for.
Barely anybody likes masks in schools. Their children are suffocating. You don't know what it feels like, and just it's nonsense.
Wearing a mask makes it difficult to breathe during school, and I miss important things that my teacher says.
I just want to say I think it's really sad how kids in the classroom don't even know what their teachers look like. Can you imagine going through an entire school year not even knowing what your teachers and classmates look like?
Have you ever tried breathing through a straw? Try it, and you'll see what it feels like for me breathing with asthma. Can you imagine adding a mask on top of the straw and what that would feel like? I have, and I pass out from lack of oxygen.
Yesterday, we spent the morning at the ER. So my son had extreme breathing distress. He had to have breathing treatments and steroids. So this mask is not keeping him safe. It's making him sick. Who's going to pay for that hospital trip? Are you?
Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you.
When our children ask for breathing breaks at school, they are denied access to fresh air and disciplined accordingly. They are yelled at. They are shamed. They are told they are not going to be promoted to the next grade level. They get office referrals. They get lunch detention and even in-school suspension for even lowering it below their nose. Let me repeat that for you. Our children at school ask for breathing breaks and they are denied. And then they get in trouble. We are gaslighting our children to think that it is normal and healthy to cover up their healthy beautiful, God-given faces for hours at a time.
Think of the children learning the basics of phonics and literacy who can't even see their teacher enunciate, specifically my daughter. Think of the children who already suffer from anxiety, ADHD, autism, learning disabilities, who are possibly speech impaired, and other children who are struggling with a mask. Think of the kids who are feeling increasingly suicidal, have newfound eating disorders, who are regressing emotionally and socially. Think of the child who comes from a broken home, seeking love, compassion, and friendship, only to be completely isolated, even at school, not given an opportunity to see a single smile all day long. Do better. It's safe to say that COVID has not only killed many, but it is also killing childhood. And each of you are now continuing to rob our children with evidence-lacking guidelines that have no practicality in the classroom or in a learning environment. Do better. We did not elect the CDC. We did not elect Dr. Fauci. We elected every single one of you sitting there. Are we going to pretend that this doesn't matter because the experts told us so? Nothing that has happened has been for the sake of our children. Do better, because if not, we will do better. There are four of you school board members who are up for re-election next year, and I assure you we will do better when your seats are up. We will do better by taking our children out of your schools. We will do better by protecting our children from any further baseless abuse at your hands. Do better. Unmask our children. We are watching you.
What you are doing to our kids is abuse. What you are doing to our kids is psychological warfare that will haunt them. Not just for this last year, not for this year, but for the rest of their lives. The masks are affecting our children mentally. My longtime friend of 30 years, her 14-year-old son, Lakevious, was a bright young man who had always done very well in school and had lots of friends. When school started back in September, he tried in person and could not breathe through the masks. He was getting dizzy, nauseous, and very severe headaches. So he had no choice but to go virtual. Lakevious felt cut off from the rest of the world, which he stated in his suicide note. He stated he was hopeless, that we would never return to normal. His mother found him when she came home from her shift. He'd hung himself in her closet. Lakevious was 14 years old with his whole life ahead of him. Masks need to be optional, period.
Many are worried the isolation that has come with the pandemic is having a big impact on mental health.
The next health crisis triggered by COVID-19 may actually be a wave of suicides.
Suicide rates are at the highest since World War II.
Like 41 days ago, my young 12-year-old boy, 3 days before his 13th birthday, took his life.
911,
tell me exactly what happened.
Start hugging yourself. Give him CPR. Stop breathing.
Count with me, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep doing them, sir, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1.
My 8-year-old daughter came down the stairs and said he did hung himself. And I ran upstairs. I tried. I want nobody ever feels to see what I saw, to feel this pain.
One of the things about schools that I think puts it in perspective is that more children have died from suicide than from COVID.
We're seeing, sadly, far greater suicides now than we are deaths from COVID. We're seeing far greater deaths from drug overdose that are above excess than what we had as background than we are seeing deaths from COVID. So this is why I came coming back for the overall social being of the individuals.
In September, one report found that more than half of the kids surveyed had thoughts of suicide or self-harm. In fact, 11 to 17-year-olds have been more likely than any other age group to experience symptoms of anxiety and depression during the pandemic.
The second leading cause of death in the United States for 10 to 14-year-olds is suicide. The second leading cause of death of 15 to 24-year-olds is suicide. 25 to 34-year-olds is suicide.
When Dylan Buckner's parents woke up on January 7th, little did they know that it would be the last day they would see their promising 18-year-old star athlete and straight A student.
Jo took her own life in her own home last week. Her mother says she struggled during the coronavirus pandemic and having to stay home.
Kennedy Nida was just 16 years old when she took her life this year.
Spencer Smith took his own life because of the isolation he felt learning from home.
This weekend, more tragedy as two students from Oakdale High took their lives.
On September 21st, London Sophia Bruns died by suicide.
He's loved by so many that it's hard to believe he was this depressed that he did this.
Spencer Smith left a note for his parents, writing about feeling locked in the house and growing apart from his friends. Then he took his own life.
Do you think the pandemic played a role in this?
Absolutely. The isolation.
On March 19th, just a day before they planned to leave for vacation, their world instead changed forever. Kennedy took her own life.
I don't want another family to have to experience this hurt and this loss that we have.
We lost another one in my small town. We lost four in the town adjacent to four teens. One kid hung himself from the goalposts of the football stadium. And so there's probably a total of six around my town. My West Point buddy, unfortunately, passed away through a self-harm method just last week. This is a tragedy. And the stigma around suicide, I know it can be taboo. I know people don't want to talk about it because they don't know what to say.
Exactly.
But I've been screaming from as loud as I can is that conversations matter. We have to talk about it. What we've done in the past hasn't worked. It's time to try something different. And I implore every American, every parent out there, if you're working on your patio outside, grab your son, your daughter, take them to Home Depot. Take your kid on a walk. Conversations matter, and we're in a heightened state of anxiety.
It has to be asked, what is more dangerous at the moment? Is it the coronavirus, or is it this mental health deterioration that's been going on now?
If you or someone you know is having suicidal thoughts, help is out there.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline Call Center is open 24/7, and that number is 1-800-273-8255.
Remember, I said, put your arms out.
A New Hampshire grandmother was arrested after refusing to wear a mask at a school committee meeting.
So then I get it. You're going to have to drag me out.
What?
This is outrageous.
A mom dragged out of the Volusia County School Board meeting for not wearing a mask.
So my daughter is not going to go to this school district. And also, I'm going to encourage other parents, and I'll do whatever I have to do to help them pull their kids out of the school district.
We all believed in what you do. This is an embarrassment, and you all should be embarrassed.
Parents, pull your children out of this district. That's the only way you're going to save them until this board is removed.
My child, my choice. I want an option.
Pull the kids out! Pull the kids out! Pull the kids out! Pull the kids out!
Tensions were running high at the Pinellas County School Board meeting today, resulting in an arrest.
The Pinellas County School District says someone refused to wear a mask, and that set off a series of clashes with the board and even school police.
If you do not put your mask on, we cannot proceed with this meeting, and you will be asked to leave by security.
This room is not complying with these health guidelines. This creates a health concern for this meeting, so
I'm going to suspend the rules, and I'm going to make a motion to continue this entire meeting to another date.
Quinter, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second.
We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 I'll leave you with these questions to ponder. If masks work, why do we social distance? If social distancing works, why do we wear the masks? If both work, why the lockdowns? And if all of that works, why the vaccine? I think you know the answers, but no doubt you'll ignore the truth, because that's what you're told to do.
Final thoughts.
Do your job, open the schools, drop the mask, and leave the parenting to us. Thank you.
It's dehumanizing by design. We're not intended to only see people's eyes.
When you can't see a person's facial expression, you really don't form a connection with them, right? We thrive on seeing other people's smiles and seeing other people's emotional reactions and happiness and sadness. It really is an effort to dehumanize the individual. It also encourages people to behave aggressively and hatefully and violently toward their fellow man. When people's faces are hidden, they feel bolder in doing evil. I think we really see this in riots, right? Riots and mob activity becomes much easier when people feel like they can cover their face and they can remain anonymous, because it's a psychological thing. And again, there's been studies done on this, even going back many decades. And what the studies have found is consistently mask wearing promotes aggressive, violent behavior. And there was one study, I can't remember the name of who did it, but they looked at different tribes. And what they found was the ones that painted their face or covered their face were more barbarous, were more violent, were more vicious than the tribes that didn't do that, where people's faces were visible. So there's a lot of psychological components at work here. I think importantly, it really is a symbol of submission. And so for me, to see such a huge percentage of the American people succumbing to this mask idiocy, it's tragic. It makes you want to cry.
I really believe that the masks are a psychological attack on the freedom of America. The acceptance of the population has made slaves of people in their hearts, in their minds. The goal is total control over the lives of people, and the only way you can do that is by fear.
Well, FEAR is an acronym, and it stands for False Evidence Appearing Real. And right now what's happening is they are using fear as a marketing tool. I mean, what you're really experiencing is a rollout of a brand new product. That's what you're experiencing. And any of you that are in the marketing world can absolutely look back and say, oh, that makes total sense. What they're doing is they're putting a piece of product out, and they're seeing how people respond to that. And then they change their messaging and advertising according to how people respond.
And I'm going to quote Edmund Burke here. I mean, this is in the 1700s, and he said this about fear, quote, "No passion so effectively robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reasoning." So when you scare people enough, their capacity for reason and their capacity to act in their own best interest is severely curtailed. And there was a quote from H.L. Mencken, "The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and thus clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary."
The push for face coverings and their general acceptance worldwide is proof that this is not about science. It's about compliance. It's about creating an atmosphere of nonsensical blind obedience to authority. The social engineers are using fear to condition a new generation of citizens that are so dehumanized they will comply with future orders that nobody in their right mind would follow. If the government can force you to cover your mouth and nose, inhibiting your very breath for life, you no longer own your own body. The government does. You are no longer free. The government is your master, and you are a slave, wearing the mark of your master across your face. The establishment will push face mask again in future health scares. Perhaps every cold and flu season. They may try to make face mask mandatory for certain types of travel or activities. And many people will volunteer to mask. Is this the kind of world we want to live in and pass on to our children? Where nonsensical behaviors and garments are held up as virtuous, and conformity to the group is required.
All is not lost, and I know right now people are feeling very discouraged, overwhelmed. I get the calls from people who are suicidal. I've had those calls at 1 o'clock in the morning. I get the calls from people who are in a wheelchair. They can't wear a face mask because they've got an oxygen cannula, and they've been wheeled into a snowbank by a hospital system that refuses to treat them and is denying them medical care. They're sitting there waiting for their bus to come pick them up, and they're sitting in a snowbank. Egregious, illegal, completely discriminatory, but it's happening to people all across this country. And I get those phone calls from people who are crying. And they just feel this sense of despair, of hopelessness. And so I really want to just leave people with the sentiment and the understanding that all is not lost. There's still hope. As long as there is breath in us, there is hope. We know, if we have a biblical worldview, what the last chapter is, right? We know who wins this war. And I would just encourage people, as long as we can still get together and we can fight, we need to. So if we stand up and we organize, which is what we are doing, we can end this and we can take it back. So start small. Just go to your local grocery store and don't put on a mask. And I know that might be scary for some people, so start small. Just don't put your mask on. Just walk in and smile and keep on walking. If you're going to get your groceries, you know where you're going. Don't stop and have a conversation with someone about a mask. Just tell them, no, thank you. I'm sorry, but I don't wear one because of health reasons, and keep going. Right? It's not a lie. I don't wear one for health reasons because I know how unhealthy it is. But I've never been tackled. And those little victories will make you feel so big. It will make you feel so good. I get those emails too because I teach people how to go about your business, how to live your life without submitting to tyranny and without submitting to these mandates. And I get people call me and send me messages all the time. Oh my gosh, it worked. I feel so good. I had a lady in Costco the other day. My son and I were there and she came up to us and she said, or sorry, not Costco. They're horrible. Sam's Club. I was in Sam's Club and she came up to me and she said, how are you not wearing a mask? How are you able to get away with it? And I just looked at her and I said, because I don't need to ask permission. I don't have to wear one. And so I just don't. And she just looked at me for a couple of minutes. She ripped her mask off and she walked away and she said, thank you. I feel so free. And we giggled because we saw her all the way through. Every time, you know, we were going to another aisle, there she was smiling from ear to ear. Just, she felt so free. It had just never dawned on her to refuse to obey, that she had the choice to refuse to comply. And so just start small. And those little victories will make you feel really great. And then you just keep sharing the information, standing up as you're able to in your own world, in your own circle. And that kind of courage is contagious.
When I say that all of this is the great litmus test for how much they can control the masses, this is the litmus test because people will tell you in public, and every one of us has heard this, it's just a mask. It's just a mask. Just do it for your neighbor. It's just a mask. Well, okay. What if it's just an armband? What if it's just a tattoo? What if it's just a chip? What if it's just a shot? Where we go from here, who can know what our children and grandchildren are going to have to accept? Who won't even know they're having to accept it? They're going to think it's perfectly normal because, you know, it's all new normal. Well, the new normal is global governance and controlling. And individual liberty is going away. I've heard more people than I care to in my lifetime in offices of government say things to the effect of, we're just going to have to give up a little sovereignty to get this done. Nope. Nope. You don't have to give up any sovereignty at all. You don't have to give it up.
And many people have said, oh, come on, Peggy, it's just for a few minutes. You're making such a big deal out of this. It doesn't, just do it. It's no big deal. I'm never going to do it. I've made sacrifices, very minimal sacrifices, not on the level that many people have done where they've, you know, had to leave their job or they've been denied medical care or what have you. But I really applaud and admire people who are going to go to the mat. I call it marching it all the way to heaven. And I will. I'm going to march it all the way to heaven. I am never going to stop. There is no law that can ever be valid or legitimate that requires anyone to restrict their breath. We are born with the right to life. Life requires oxygen. Restricting someone's oxygen is taking away their life. That's why even the governors, the mayors, even the health officers, they all have stated that there are exemptions, that these are just guidelines, and they're kicking the can down the road to have the stores and the businesses be the enforcers. They are strong-arming these businesses. The businesses are actually becoming sort of the new government. I call it the United States of Costco, because they're now making these laws via their store policies that are requiring the masks. Likely it will require the vaccinations. And people said to me also, Peggy, why are you making such a deal out of the masks? This was months ago. And I said, look, you're not in California. I don't think you have any idea how bad it is here. But it's not about the masks. It's about your freedom.
When you get these collectivist ideas that is so broadly accepted now, how close are we to the word global citizen? And you've heard that already. We're just a global citizen. You're a citizen on this, you know, humanity is one race. This is where we're going. This mask, it's nothing. I am literally terrified of the direction we go after these masks. What they're going to force people to do to prove that they are, you know, wanting the rest of the world to succeed or do what's right. I fear for my children and my grandchildren.
So we've been working really hard to educate people and to just encourage people. Listen. Nobody can make you wear a face mask. Nobody can make you do anything. Stand up and refuse to obey. Now, is that going to change your lifestyle? Yep. It's changed mine a little bit. There are some stores I can't go to because they're mask Nazis. Well, guess what? They're never going to get my business again because I know those stores that I can go to who do respect my rights and who are not going to hassle me and harass me. And I just walk in like I own the joint. If they ask me if I need a mask, I say no thank you and I just keep walking. We all have the ability to refuse to obey. And, you know, it's our civic duty to refuse to obey and go along with tyranny. Because if we comply, what are we doing? We're enabling it. We're furthering it. We're giving it a voice and we're giving it power. If we refuse to obey and we stop complying, we take the power back. And who has the power? We, the people, right? So it's up to us. We can end this real fast. Like I said, one word. Non-compliance.
It is time to see the mask for what it is. A dirty rag, a face diaper, a symbol of bondage, a publicity stunt of behavioral science, and a denial of your health. Having free access to breathe the air should not be up for debate. The health, well-being, and sanity of our children depend on it. We must lead by example. Courage is contagious. Refuse the mask. Stop living in fear and be a human again. Please join us in the next episode as we look into the science and deception surrounding the so-called miracle vaccines.
The things we've talked about in this video are very important. There's no doubt about it. But the truth is, what's so much more important than anything that we've talked about in these videos is your eternal soul. One of these days, we're all going to stand before God. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." What have you done to prepare yourself for that judgment day? Are you prepared to stand before a holy God? When you do stand before a holy God, do you want to talk about your works? Because we see in the Bible that salvation, it doesn't come through any works of righteousness which we've done. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know when I stand before God, the last thing I want to talk about is what I've done, because according to the Word of God, I'm sinful and I've come short of God's glory. Our only chance of surviving judgment is if we don't have to talk about our works. And the Bible tells us that our salvation, it's through the works of Jesus Christ. And those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, they have what the Bible calls imputed righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, how is God able to do that, not credit us for sins that we have done? A holy God can't just sweep sin under the rug and let it go unanswered. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So how can God not impute our trespasses to us? Well, that's because he imputed our trespasses to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why Jesus came to this earth and went to the cross, so he could take our place. And that's exactly what he did when he died that horrible, that cruel death. God was imputing our trespasses to him. All those things that we've done that we should be held accountable for, the things that we should have to die and go to hell for, Jesus Christ did that for us. That's already been done by him. And so the Bible tells us that those who are of faith, we can now receive that imputed righteousness. It says in Romans 4:5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." That's me. The Bible says his faith is counted for righteousness. "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." So not only are our sins not imputed or credited to us, but the righteousness of Christ is credited to us. So when I stand before God on judgment day, I'm actually going to stand there as clean and as innocent as Jesus Christ. I'm going to be judged according to what he did and not according to what I did. And all I had to do to receive that standing is to just believe what God has told us about his son, how he came to this earth and he died in our place and he was buried and he rose again. I've put my faith and trust in that instead of my works and my religious performance. And according to the Bible, when I stand before God one of these days, I will stand there as righteous as Jesus Christ. Folks, that's a miracle, but that's also our only hope, because in this flesh, you better believe I've messed everything up. I have contributed to the sin that is in the world. And if you're out there listening to this video and you've been trusting in your goodness and your religious performance to get you to heaven, you need to repent of that and you need to 100% put all your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for you. And if you'll do that, you will receive that righteousness
that can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for watching this video. I hope it was a help and a blessing to you. God bless.